As we continue our trek through the book of James, today we make a switch and we're talking about beliefs that obey. Now, the book of James is a book, it's kind of in your face. It's kind of like the litmus test of, is your faith genuine or not? And so as we've been going through the book of James, he says that you're going to have all kinds of things in your life that's going to show you whether your faith is genuine, whether your faith is big, whether it's small, whether it's little, or whether you have any faith at all. And so we began talking about trials. That's one of the tests. And trials shows us where we are in our walk with the Lord, where our faith is, whether we have faith or not. And so now we come to another portion that talks about the Word of God. So, in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, Jeremiah writes, actually the Lord says to him, "Stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." And this is what they said. We don't want to walk in it. We don't want that stuff. Psalm 119, verse 155 said this, "Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes." Statutes, the law, his commandments, all of those things are just another way of saying God's word. They don't want to obey God's word. They don't want to listen to God's word. And so salvation is far from them because they don't want to seek out God's word. The desire of the believer should be to know and obey God's word. But the unbeliever, they don't want to listen to that stuff. Man, that's just a bunch of garbage. I'm out of here. I don't want to hear that. Believers should want to know what God's word has to say and how to apply that to their lives to be an obedient servant. In Psalm 119, verse 1, it says this. Starts right off. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." You want a blessing? Be obedient to God's word. Simply enough. Psalm 119, verse 10 says, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." Do you seek God's word with your whole heart? I mean, that's a question. Psalm 119, verse 161 says, "But my heart stands in awe of your word." Do you understand and know the God of the universe who spoke the world into existence? We have a copy of his word readily available to us. Do you even stand in awe of his word? It's right there. And so, Psalm 119, verse 70 says, "Their heart is as fat as grease." I don't know what the heck that means. But he goes on to say, "But I delight in your law." Do you have enjoyment in the word of God? Psalm 119, verse 81. We probably should just open the book of Psalms 119, just read all, 200 verses. But verse 81 says, "My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word." Is your day-to-day living in hope of God's word? Or do you just wake up every day and just whatever happens, happens? Que sera, sera, whatever will be. Will be. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And my life, I try to align by his word. And that's what we do, or should do, every day. Psalm 119, verse 33 says this, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Let me hide your word, God, and I will keep it to the end. Allow me to know your word." Psalm 119, verse 133 says this, "Direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me." There's one that's not in there, but it's Psalm 119, 105, and it says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What is guiding your daily life? God's word or you? Or the world? Or your neighbor? Or what somebody tells you how to live? Or some self-help book? Psalm 119, verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Can I ask you a question? How much do you love God's word? And how much do you meditate on it? Do you meditate at all? Or is this what you think about day and night? And so Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, the psalmist aligns it with this. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." And then it goes on to say, the ungodly are not so. They are not so. Matter of fact, it's important to even know Jesus proclaimed this. This is all Old Testament stuff. But Jesus also proclaimed this very same thing. In John chapter 8, verse 31, to some of the Jews that accepted Jesus as their Savior, he said, "If you abide in my word, if you are daily in my word, then you are my disciples." You know there's a difference between a believer and a disciple? Between a believer and an unbeliever, there's no difference because you can't tell. But there's a difference between a disciple. A disciple is daily in God's word. Daily in God's word. Jesus calls us to go and make disciples, not believers. We're called to go and make disciples. There's a big difference. In John chapter 8, verse 37, Jesus says this, "I know that you're of Abraham's descendants. I know you're from the seed of Abraham. But you seek to kill me. Why? Because his word has no place in them." God's word has no place in them. And in John chapter 8, verse 47, Jesus says this, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because why? You're not of God." John chapter 10, verse 26 and 27, Jesus said, "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Remember that little video about the guy calling the sheep and stuff? The sheep didn't come except for the shepherd. If you are a child of the one true king, you will hear his voice, and you will follow him. It's an amazing difference. An amazing difference. In the upper room in John chapter 14, verse 23, after Judas had already put it in his heart to betray Jesus, the only man in the scriptures where Satan actually entered into him, he is gone by now, so the 11 disciples are in the upper room. And in John 14, 23, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will what? He'll keep my word." Do you keep God's word? Let me ask you a question. First of all, you got to know God's word before you can keep it. There's a huge difference. Even the Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel of John, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, he says, "He who says, I know him," oh yeah, I know God. I know God, I experience God every day, I know him, "and does not keep his commandments is a what? And the truth is not in him." Listen, it's crystal clear. I mean, yes, I know sometimes we all sin every day and we don't follow God's word, but man, if you don't practice what you preach, if you don't practice what you say you believe, James says, here's the litmus test. Do you believe in God? Well, how much of his word do you obey? How much of his word do you hide in your heart? And so James gives us this in your face. Here's a genuine test. And we come to this section about the word of God. And God's word has massive transforming power. And we saw that in James 1, verse 18, where he says, "Of his own will, he brought us forth by what? The word of truth." That would be kind of a first fruits of his creatures. Matter of fact, Peter called God's word incorruptible seed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, he says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible." Through what? The word of God. That's how we're born again, through the word of God. God has transforming power, and it's in his word. Matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, if it were possible, and the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." That's why people do not want to hear God's word, because it cuts you right at your heart. God says, "What you're doing is wrong. I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me that. God's word says you're doing wrong. And they say, oh, don't tell me that. I want to do whatever I want to do, and I don't have no conviction. And that's why they don't want to read God's word, because it tells you what you're doing is wrong. Let's look at our text this morning, found in James chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. James writes this. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Let's open with a word of prayer. Rob Peterson, would you open us up, please? Amen. Thank you. Excuse me. All right. So James, who is the half-brother of Jesus, he's talking to Jews because back in verse 1, he says, James, a bondservant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And so he's trying to tell his fellow Jews, hey, remember, we missed this. We missed it because when Jesus came, he proclaimed God's word, which we should have had. We had God's word years ago, and we missed it. We missed so much stuff. And so we do the same thing here today. We miss so much, and we even have God's word. We have it in a gazillion different translations. And we still miss half of what he says. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 7, he said, "And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me." He was talking to the Jews, and he said, "You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe." So James tells his fellow Jews, you need to start diving into God's word. You need to start believing what you're reading. You need to start listening to what God has to say. And the same thing holds true for us. All right, Jesus even says this. This is amazing. Listen to Mark 4:24 and Luke 8:18. In two specific different instances, Jesus says pretty much the same thing, but listen to how he says it. Take heed what you hear. And then in Luke, take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear and take heed how you hear. And if you remember back in Matthew chapter 13, it's talking about the parable of the soils. And of course, the seed that was sown among the sorrels was what? What was the seed? The word of God. The seed was the word of God. And the soils was the heart, the mind, where it was implanted to. Some fell on rocky ground, some fell among the wayside, like unbelievers, and the enemy, Satan, like a crow, he comes down, he takes the word, snatches it up. But some fell among thorny ground, and it got choked out by the riches and the cares of this life. But there was only one that produced any kind of fruit, and that was in the good ground. And when that produced fruit, it produced some that was 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And then we come to James 1:19, and he says this. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now the question would be this. Is James just talking that we need to learn how to keep our mouth shut and pay attention? Is that what he's talking about? It would be simple if that was the case. I mean, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28 says, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace or keeps his mouth shut. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Matter of fact, the old axiom goes like this. You're better off to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove any doubt. So the question is this what he's talking about? I don't think so. Because here's the idea. The text is talking about the word of God. The text is talking about being a good listener to the Word of God. Just keeping your mouth shut and being a good listener, is that a test of your faith? Not really. Let me explain. He's talking about hearing the Word of God and being a doer of the Word of God. Back in verse 18, he says this, you have the Word of truth. Back in verse 21, it's talked about the implanted Word. Verse 22, we're to be doers of the Word. Verse 23, looking into a glass or a mirror, which is the Word of God. Verse 25, looking into the perfect law of liberty. This all is a reflection of God's Word. So here the idea, the Word of God is the theme. So when you are to be quick to listen, it is to the Word of God. That's what James has in mind. You are to respond to the Word of God. That is his concern. And actually, the literal translation should be quick to the hearing. That's actually what it should be, quick to the hearing. Quick to the hearing of the Word of God. So here's the idea. Are you starved for the Word of God so much that you are quick to the hearing? Do you love to come in Sunday into Sunday school because you just want to hear what the Word of God has to say? Are you quick to come into the services on Sunday because you just want to hear what the Word of God has to say? Do you get involved in a life group because you don't get enough on Sunday morning and you want to get involved in people's lives and you want to grow in knowledge and grace with the Lord in a life group because you are so quick to go hear the Word of God? Do you come Wednesday because, man, I need something to get me over hump day? There's services here every Wednesday. And we dive into God's Word and we give us something to get us through the rest of the week. Matter of fact, we do a great job with the children, with the teens. We do everything we can so that you, if you are quick to the hearing, you have every opportunity to come and hear the Word of God. We have Bible studies and we got stuff going on all the time that is revolved around the Word of God. It's an amazing thing. And we do that for the folks that are quick to the hearing. Quick to the hearing of the Word of God. The idea is, do you have eagerness to hear God's Word? How is God going to speak to you if you don't hear God's Word? Believers should run to the hearing. Long for the hearing of God's Word. Long to take in God's Word. Do you have a desire to hear the Word of God? There's an old financial institution. I think it might still be around today. I don't know. But it was E.F. Hutton. And what they used to say is E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Let me ask you this question. When God speaks, are you quick to listen? Because God speaks from his Word. And are you quick to go listen to it? What a concept. Listen, it is possible to have a desire to hear God's Word. But if all you're going to do is just read it, all you're doing is taking your bookmark and go from one page to another. You got to want to hear what God has to say. You got to want to take what God has to say in and apply it to your life. It's not just quickly reading. We have to absorb it. It's not just some skimming over it. So James says in James 1, 19 through 21, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, swift to the hearing of God's word, and then be slow to speak. Now, you may disagree with me, and that's fine. But since we're talking about the Word of God, and we're quick to hearing the Word of God, then it should be we're slow to speak the Word of God. And I know that's contradictory to what we would think, because, man, we want to be proclaiming the Word of God to everybody, right? But listen, if you don't know what you're talking about, you should be slow to speak the Word of God. And that's the problem. People have ideas, have their own ideas about what they think God's Word has to say. And they're quick to talk. And they should be slow to speak. You should be quick to hear God's Word. But you ought to have some good sound doctrine before you open your mouth and start spilling that out. We'll get to that in James chapter 3 when he talks about let not there be many teachers among you, because knowing that you're going to receive the stricter judgment. That's the idea. Those that teach and preach the Word of God, we will be held accountable to a much stricter judgment. Somebody said one time, do you get nervous when you go up there? And I say, yep, every time. Should have a little trash can right there in case I have to puke, because every Sunday I'm ready to do that. Now, listen, when I preach and I speak and all that, I'm in my element. I am at home. I am so comfortable. But when it comes to the Word of God, I will be held to a higher standard. And it makes me sick to my stomach to make sure that I am not slow to speak what God wants me to, because it is vital, important information you guys are receiving. And if this is all you ever get, then I need to make sure that this is important stuff and right on cue with what God has to say. Because I'm going to be held to a higher standard. So that's basically what it is. You got swift to hear. You should be hearing the Word of God real quick, but you be slow to speak it. Make sure you know what you're talking about. Most people say, well, just do whatever you want to, whatever the heart wants to do, just let the heart do. No, thank you. If you're a Christian, God didn't save you so you could do whatever you wanted. He saved you for His honor and glory. And every day you're to give glory to God. And that is by being obedient to His Word, not whatever you want to do. So, okay, moving on. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. He says, be slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Very often people who differ from me get very angry, blah, 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 angry very quickly. Very often people who disagree with me get very angry very quickly. You know, we don't believe that baptism saves anybody. That is an unscriptural doctrine. So when I give the truth of God's word and they say, oh, well, you know, you got to be baptized in order to be saved. No, you do not. Salvation is faith in Jesus Christ apart from any works. Baptism is a work. We don't believe in works salvation. It's faith through grace, or grace through faith. And so here's the idea. People that don't believe that, they'll get very mad. They'll get very mad. But here's the idea. We need to be slow to wrath. I mean, this even goes with people in our own denomination, in our own doctrine. Because when it comes to divorce, hey, let me tell you what the Word of God has to say about divorce, you know, to the person who's like, well, we just don't love each other anymore. We're just, you know, it's probably better that we separate. Well, let me tell you what God's Word says about divorce. I don't want to hear that. I want to do whatever I want to do. It's amazing when it comes to the Word of God that people get very quick to wrath. When you want to talk to somebody about, well, you probably shouldn't live together because, you know, you're having premarital sex. And let me show you what God says about that. Oh, no, I don't want to hear about that. Why not? They get very quick to being wrathful when the Word of God literally comes in and attacks them where they're at. Especially where it kind of attacks their sin. Boy, wrath comes out really quickly. So James says here, it's about testing our faith, whether it's real, whether it's big, whether it's small, whatever the case may be. The context of hearing the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, and so implies now anger against those who are giving you the Word of God that confronts you and your sin. And some people don't want to hear it. Matter of fact, Tom spoke up last week or the week before talking about pride comes before a fall and, you know, reap what you sow. And I made fun of Matt because he was always talking about how he never got sick. And so, you know, I'm reaping what I've sown because now I'm sick. And thanks, Tom, for shoving the scripture in my face. I appreciate that. So, but it's all in love. It's all in love. But that's the idea. We can be quick to hear the Word of God and slow to teach it. But man, when people give us the Word of God, don't get wrathful when the truth comes out. Don't have a hissy fit because the truth is convicting you where it comes from. And so when it comes to the church, man, there's wars and rumors of wars and there's desires and there's lust and there's all kinds of stuff. And this is within the church. And so the idea is that everybody wants to be heard. Everybody has an opinion about everything. And their opinion needs to be heard. I'm telling you. But when it comes to the Word of God, we need to be quick to hear it. We need to be slow to teach it. And we need to stop getting mad when God confronts us with the truth. Or when people confront us with the truth. Listen, there's going to be a time when we need to redo something because of what is being taught or what has been taught, there might be a time when you need to see some type of error and deal with it. But you ought to be very, very cautious. And when those times happen, don't freak out. Just deal with it biblically and move on. Paul had the same problem. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. He says, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" You know what their response was? Yeah. He told them the truth of God's word, and they didn't like it. So therefore, he became their enemy. What an amazing thing. James here in verse 20 says, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And that's true. Very important aspect here. When it comes to wrath, the wrath and anger that gets festered within us doesn't allow you to be pleasing to God. That's the whole idea. We need to be pleasing to God. And when we get mad, when God's word is given to us, convicts us of our sin, it's not going to produce God's righteousness. And that's the whole problem. So when we get angry and we get bitterness and we get resentment and so forth, literally it's at the word of God, which is what? You're literally getting mad at God. How's come we would do that? God never did anything to us. Remember back in verse 17, what does it say? Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. God only wants to give us what is good and what's best for us. So why would we get mad at God? He's only going to do what's best. All right, let's finish with this. Verse 21. It says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness, all overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Now, this is very important because it says, lay aside, and then it says, receive. Lay aside and receive. The Greek word to lay aside comes from the Greek apatithemi, and it means this. It means to put off or to put away. Actually, it's talking like clothes, like putting on clothes. And so what he's saying is that you have to take off the old dirty, nasty clothes, the filthiness, the wickedness, all that. You got to take off those clothes, and you have to put on something different, some clean clothes. And so it's take off, lay aside, and then receive. So we're to put off something or we're to put on something. So here's the idea. You cannot receive the implanted word of God until you take off sin and wickedness. You will never be able to understand God's word until you deal with your sin. And then when you sin, you need to deal with your sin, repent, turn from your ways, ask God to forgive. Then you can receive with meekness the implanted word of God. Does that make sense? We have to deal with our sin first, then we can receive God's word. Paul says this in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. He says that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. God created us to do good. Stop doing bad. Put that stuff away. Put all that wickedness and allow God's word to get in there. Now, this word filthiness here is very interesting because I'm sure you've told this to people before. But the word filthiness comes from the Greek word rupario. And it's translated filthiness. It's translated comprehensive cleaning. It's translated a moral cleaning. There's different meanings there. But the root word rupos means this. It refers to the removing of the earwax in your ear. Yeah, that's because that's filthy. So it's translated filthiness. Get the filthiness out of your ears. And so that's what James is saying. You got to get the filthy earwax out of your ears so you can hear from the Word of God. You ever told that to somebody? Hey, did you hear what I said? No, what? Well, get the wax out of your ears. Well, that's the idea that James is telling us. Hey, do you hear from God's word? No. Well, get the wax out of your ears. Get the filthiness. Get the wickedness. Repent of your sin. Turn to God. 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sin, what? And to? Can I tell you something? When you confess your sin to God It's not up to you, it's up to him. And I love that verse because it says he is faithful to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That is anything you've ever done. That's all. I mean, isn't that all inclusive? That's pretty good. You confess, you get right with God. Now, what's that? Oh, now, yeah, I hear you now, God, loud and clear. So this whole filthiness, this mass of wickedness, this moral dirtiness, both in action, both in intent, in heart, all of that must be confessed. You got to get rid of it. It's got to be removed. Get it out so that you can hear from God's word with right hearing. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul says, for this reason, we thank God without ceasing because you received the word of God which you heard from us. You welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. He's like, wow, I thank God for you guys because you got the wax out of your ears. You heard God's word, not as it was just my words, but you knew that that come from God and it changed your life and you began to do something about it. That's what he's saying. Praise the Lord. That's how it should be. You hear God's word, you listen to it, it changed your life, you obeyed it because you heard, your ears were clean. The power and of effect of God's word, his rooted word, is dependent on our willingness to receive it. So it's like a radio station. The signal's always there, right? All you gotta do is just turn it up. God's word is so effective that it'll be able to save your soul. Your life, literally. Your life is the translation there in verse 21. Are you willing to get that wax out of your ears so that you can be quick to hear God's word? When he is able to save your life, not only in this life, and that has dual part, able to save your life, not only here and now, but also your soul in all eternity. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, he says, for the time will come, and I believe it's now here, when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires. Where does desire come from? Whoop. Yep, comes from me. My own evil desire, my sinfulness comes right from me. Because of their own desires, because they have itching ears, they still got some earwax in there, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We need to stick with sound doctrine. It is the scriptures that changes our lives. When we take it in, hear from God, and then apply it to our lives. Which one exemplifies you? Are you quick to hear? Or are you quick to wrath? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your word, which is so important to our daily lives. Father, I pray that we would constantly seek opportunities where we can be quick to your hearing, quick to learn from your word, quick at every opportunity. We used to hear that all the time. When the doors were open, we need to be here. Well, yes, your word says that. We need to be quick and excited to come hear your word. And so, Lord, may we be there, but also slow to speak. We don't want to teach if we don't know what your word says. So many false teachings out there, but we need to be rooted and grounded in your word. And when it convicts us and it literally hits us and cuts us at our heart and our sinfulness, we just need to confess it and get right to you so that we can constantly keep that fellowship like Jesus had with you. And Father, that's why we have our invitation time. If there's someone here this morning that does not know that from your word they can have heaven and eternal life, let today be the day of salvation. Lord, if there's a part of your church, your family, one of your children that just needs to get right so that they can get the wax out of their ears and hear from you. Sometimes we don't hear from you because we are the ones that are hindering our prayers and our life and our walk because we've allowed sin to just fester there. So, Lord, we give you this invitation. We just pray, God, have your way. Have your own way, Lord. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.